You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up tonight at 7, it's Reveal. Tonight, Reveal revisits stories that listeners said were the most memorable. First, President Barack Obama and President-elect Donald Trump met a couple of days after Trump won the election to talk about the transition between their administrations. During a press conference after that meeting, President Obama said this.
As I said last night, my number one priority in the coming 2 months is to try to facilitate a transition that ensures our president-elect is successful.
But in the weeks since that meeting, President-elect Trump has sent out many tweets showing different stances from President Obama, and the president has been making resolutions and executive actions to try to protect his legacy. The New York Times has characterized the current state of the presidential transition as, quote, dueling administrations. Lily Gorin joins us now in our Milwaukee studios to talk about the presidential transition. She is a professor of political science and global studies at Carroll University. Lily, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me. Happy New Year.
You too.
Thanks.
Well, Lily, what do you think about the New York Times wording there, that this is dueling administrations that we're seeing here?
Well, you know, you do have, obviously, a transition from one partisan administration, from the Obama administration, Democrats, to a Republican administration led by Trump. And we saw that going on also in 2008 and into 2009 when Obama, as a Democrat, took over from George W. Bush, who was a Republican. We also saw that, obviously, in 2000 when George W. Bush took over as a Republican from Bill Clinton, who was a Democrat. And so we do have, again, a tradition in this country going all the way back to the beginning of the republic in terms of the constitutional system, where the sort of transition of power from one party to another, famously the election of Thomas Jefferson in 1800, who was of a different sort of political ideology and ultimately party from John Adams, who had preceded him.
It seems as though in this time before President-elect Donald Trump takes office, that President Obama, in his waning days in office, has been pretty busy. He's banned oil drilling off the Atlantic coast, protected funding for Planned Parenthood, punished Russia for the supposed cyber attacks as well. Is it normal for the outgoing president to be doing this much?
Well, presidents, as they're leaving, often, you know, try to sort of finish off policy areas that they are committed to. And so you see that going on in terms of this particular transition. If you think back to 2008, what we saw going on at that time was, of course, the financial crisis and really the economy kind of imploding. And so you had a more of a crisis situation in the last transition period and one where, you know, the Bush administration was also working with Congress, which at that point had a Democratic House, to try to staunch some of the, some of the crisis, the economic crisis. Since you do have less of a crisis situation now, and so a lot of the policies that Obama has been sort of trying to implement throughout his administration, he's trying to sort of finish off and possibly protect them, as you noted, from possibly unraveling quickly come the Trump administration and also the Republican majorities in the House and the Senate.
Do any of the actions that President Obama has taken in the last couple weeks strike you as anything that's remarkable or noteworthy as he prepares to leave office?
I mean, I don't think that there's anything remarkable or necessarily noteworthy with regard to, some of the sort of areas that he has been trying to, again, protect in terms of what he has advocated for and pushed through in terms of policy over his 8 years in the Oval Office. I do think, you know, we haven't heard any pardons yet, in terms of usually presidents, in the contemporary period, presidents make sort of final pardons right before they leave office, and so there may be a couple of pardons or not coming in the next couple of weeks. Sometimes those are controversial.
And President Obama, his approval rating is pretty high right now. He's going out on a high note where it seems as though Donald Trump is coming in at a lower point than President Obama. Does that, do you think, have anything to do with the shape that this transition is taking?
Well, I mean, this is sort of, again, coming out of the the campaign season itself and the election, when Trump did not necessarily have high approval ratings throughout, and you know, that was one of the issues, that neither he nor Hillary Clinton had very high approval ratings, whereas Obama's approval ratings continued to sort of move up during the election season, and ultimately they've continued in that direction as he's leaving office. He's leaving office with some of the highest approval ratings of a contemporary president.
Why do you think that is, that he's sailing out on a high note like that?
I guess it's, you know, to some degree, again, sort of the waning days of an administration. Oftentimes, unless there's some sort of a crisis, people sort of look back and sort of perhaps wistfully and sort of say, oh, you know, he did a good job. Maybe I don't agree with him, but, you know, he sort of came in and this is what he said he was going to do. Or for people who do agree with him, sort of said, well, look at all the things that he's accomplished.
And so you're saying we've seen this with other presidents that are outgoing.
You do sort of see, again, unless there's some other issue that's sort of impacting the exit of the president, because you know, 8 years ago, I compare it to George W. Bush when he exited office during the financial crisis. His approval ratings were quite low, and a lot of that was, again, tied up and around with regard to to what was going on economically and to some degree the impact that he was having or the difficulty that, you know, the country in general was going through at the time. And the other thing that sort of does sometimes happen is presidents, after they leave office, will often have a period of time when, after they've left, that their reputations will be revisited, and they will have higher sort of approval ratings, or they'll have higher endorsements after they leave office and they've been out of office. You know, George W. Bush's approval ratings have gone up substantially since he left office.
We're talking with Lily Gorin right now. She's in our Milwaukee studios, and we're talking about the presidential transition. Lily is a professor of political science and global studies at Carroll University. And one thing that does seem different in this transition than in the past is the tweeting of Donald Trump. Last week, President-elect Trump tweeted, "Doing my best to disregard the many inflammatory President O statements and roadblocks." He said, "thought it was going to be a smooth transition, -! And then President Obama called him up and they spoke, and then Trump reversed a little bit what he had to say. Here's what he said.
"Our staffs are getting along very well, and I'm getting along very well with him, other than a couple of statements that I responded to. And we talked about it and smiled about it. And nobody's ever going to know, because we're never going to be going against each other in that way. So, but he was, it was a great conversation."
So there's a kind of back and forth like that, but half of it is happening, some of it is happening very publicly on Twitter in a way that we really haven't seen before. Is that affecting the way the transition is unspooling, or is this, you know, the Twitter is just the medium, but the message would have been the same anyway?
Well, I mean, I think what you're seeing in general with regard to the Trump transition is that it's not necessarily, from the perspective of somebody who explores the presidency, it's not necessarily been the smoothest transition period. Most of the time, presidents-elect often come in with a list of people who they expect to appoint to their cabinet, and what we've seen with regard to Trump is, it's not only does he have, you know, sort of a variety of people, but he hasn't necessarily chosen which person he would like to appoint. And we saw this in particular with regard to the position for Secretary of State, where he was talking to a number of people, including Mitt Romney, about that position, and then ultimately indicated Rex Tillerson. But there, you know, sort of a lot of back and forth publicly. That's generally not the case with regard to presidential transitions. There may be more of that behind the scene, with people sort of speaking to the president-elect and sort of vetting of the individuals before they're publicly indicated as the nominee for a cabinet post. But it's not usually sort of a number of people in public indicated as a possibility. And so I think between a lot of the tweeting that that Trump and his, and his surrogates and his spokespeople have been doing, as well as the way he's, sort of talking to a number of people for a variety of posts within the administration, that it hasn't been necessarily the smoothest of transitions.
We're talking right now to political scientist Lily Gorin, talking about the presidential transition. And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. How do you think the presidential transition is going so far? Do you think that President Obama is overreaching with some of his current actions, or do you wish that he were going further? And do you think that President-elect Donald Trump is speaking up too much, maybe on Twitter, in the time before he officially takes office? You can call us now at 800-642-1234, and you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. We're picking up our discussion now about the presidential transition with Lily Gorin from Carroll University. And we're taking your calls right now at 800-642-1234. What do you make of these seemingly dueling administrations? What executive actions would you like to see President Obama put into place before President-elect Donald Trump takes office? And what do you think of President-elect Trump as he gears up to become president, about his actions so far in the lead-up? Call in at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. And we'll take our first caller now. We have Elaine with us in Colfax. Elaine, hi.
Hi. I think that Donald Trump is acting quite juvenile, and it's really undignified using Twitter and just, he's very reckless and childish. I think it reveals how inept and, how unprepared he is for this job. And I think that President Obama has every right to protect his legacy, to continue working until the last day as president.
Elaine, thank you for your comments there. Elaine saying Trump's use of Twitter is undignified and reckless. And those adjectives aside, is there anything breaking of norms in this behavior when it comes to a clear delineation of who is commander-in-chief of the United States and that there can only be one president at a time? Is there sort of a blurring of boundaries at all?
Well, again, this is essentially the first time we've seen the use of Twitter in this regard. In 2008, neither the McCain nor the Obama team was really using Twitter in the way that Donald Trump or his campaign have been using it. And so in terms of the use of it and in the way that it's being used by Trump and his campaigns, it certainly is not the norm, but again, it's a sort of new media environment, and he's used Twitter in this regard throughout the entirety of his campaign, both for the nomination and ultimately for the general election. And so he's just continuing to some degree his use of Twitter in that regard. It's hard to say, is it sort of reckless and childish? I believe it was Jeb Bush who said of Trump while he was running against him that Trump was kind of a chaos candidate. And that, the use of Twitter and possibly dueling tweets from Trump, sort of saying one thing in the morning, possibly, and then another thing in the evening, is how he got some of that reputation from people who were running against him. But again, it's also the way he's using the medium itself, Twitter, that is novel in general.
Elaine, thanks a lot for the call. And we go next to Tim in La Crosse. Tim, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to share?
It seems like Obama's just kind of troublemaking on the way out. Look at the red line in the sand. There's all kinds of things that he didn't do. What about the Russia in the email, or the hacking, supposedly? That was a big nothing, but now all of a sudden it's a problem. He's just making trouble on his way out the door is all he's doing.
Tim, thank you for that comment. And Tim, echoing what other Republicans, I don't know if Tim's a Republican, but what some Republicans have said, that Obama is trying to kind of stir up the mud puddle, make things, put in place some speed bumps or hurdles for Trump, who he'll be entering and trying to get things done.
And in that regard, it certainly is what presidents do as they, they're concluding their administration. It's not necessarily different in the Obama administration than it was in previous administrations as they're leaving office, particularly if there's, you know, a different party coming in, and that's part of the difference. We haven't seen a transition from one party to another since 19, or from one party to the same party since 1988. And so, you know, since the transition from George H.W. Bush to Clinton, every transition in power has been from one party to another. And at the very end, most of the presidents, as they're concluding their administration, are in fact trying to maintain their policies.
We mentioned the Twitter account, and Donald Trump has been tweeting also about foreign policy, about maybe building up a nuclear arsenal, and he also commented on China taking a Navy drone. Lily, do you think this affects U.S. foreign policy when there is a clear break between one administration and another in terms of stances?
Well, I mean, this is some of the you know, sort of perplexing parts of this transition period. It's not only the drone, the water drone, and so forth, but you've seen the telephone call with regard to Taiwan, and again, sort of different policy approaches with regard to Russia, both from the Obama administration as well as members of Congress and the incoming Trump administration, and so you have a variety of different sort of voices on foreign policy issues, some of them, again, in the same party as Trump, but with regard to different sort of approaches to, you know, how our policy has been and should possibly continue with regard to, say, Russia, or how it might change.
We're talking with Lily Gorin right now from Carroll University, taking stock of the presidential transition. And Lily, in terms of how much one outgoing president can affect or influence and also, you know, just sort of help smooth things for the next person coming in, do you think that what we're seeing here is typical, or would you not expect to see a lot of kind of hand-holding as one president goes out and another comes in?
Well, what usually happens, again, is oftentimes more behind the scenes. And I wouldn't say it was necessarily hand-holding, but it's, you know, it's sort of coming in as a new president. You are going to have responsibility for leading and running the entire executive branch. And that's, you know, a substantial responsibility. And regardless of what positions you've held before, whether you're a senator, as Obama was, or you were governor, as George W. Bush was, or Bill Clinton was, you're still, it's a magnitude of difference. And then you have the Trump administration coming in, which is, again, coming in as an outsider administration, one that's coming from the business world, from the private sector. A lot of the folks who are coming in are coming from positions in the private sector, or they're coming from the military. And so they're, you know, sort of, they're learning, or they're going to be learning about how to run the federal bureaucracy, which is one of the largest employers in the world. And that's a lot of information. It's a lot of specificity. It's a lot of sort of a learning curve. And that's, you know, that was anticipated by the framers of the Constitution. And that's also what presidents have said as they come into office, that, you know, when they start sort of learning what they are in charge of, and also how slow the federal government is in terms of a transition, that it's sort of not necessarily anticipated. And so I think part of that, part of what we're seeing is more of the transition discussion, possibly through Twitter, going on, whereas in the past it's been to some degree more of the folks who are coming in, meeting with the folks who are going out. And that's, you know, that's been part of the tradition in the past for a peaceful transition of power, which the United States is famous for.
And it is this, as you were getting it there, kind of this weird no man's land, in that it takes such a slow amount of time, a long time between the election and when the inauguration happens. I mean, what do you think ideally happens in that expanse of time?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of folks in political science who do a lot of work on this and actually help with the transition. They and a number of my colleagues in Washington, D.C., actually write, you know, briefings, books, and try to meet with and offer their services to incoming folks in the new administration so that they can sort of get an understanding of, like, this is, you know, these are the people who work for you, and this is how this operates, and this is what you have to anticipate. And things may change. You know, policies obviously are going to change, but, you know, there are going to be a bunch of folks in the Department of Agriculture, and there are going to be a bunch of folks at the Department of Energy and the Department of Education, and they are civil servants, so they're going to continue to do the jobs that they were hired to do as part of the federal government. So it's the folks at the top who oftentimes need to learn about, you know, how they manage the particular bureaucracy that they're now being put in charge of.
And Lily, as we start to wrap up, the 115th Congress will be sworn in tomorrow, and,
yep,
and they start hearings for President-elect Trump's cabinet nominees as well. How do you think those hearings are going to go?
Well, again, you know, this is likely to start almost immediately. Mitch McConnell, who's going to be the continuing as the majority leader in the Senate, has said that he'd like to sort of move some of these hearings along quite quickly. And it's likely that we'll start seeing hearings maybe this week or next week for folks like Senator Jeff Sessions, who Trump has nominated to be attorney general, and some of the other folks who he has already indicated. And so I'm expecting that, you know, some of those hearings may not be quick, in that they may go on for a week or so, and that the senators, again, will have their opportunity to ask questions of the nominees.
Lily, thank you so much for joining us again.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on today.
That was Lily Gorin, professor of politics and global studies at Carroll University. She joined us from our Milwaukee studios to look at how the presidential transition is shaping up so far. I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.